Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM, Sounds of Life.
It is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Hello, 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 hello. We open the show with the sounds of Pastor Bakhe Dlamini. It's the marriage week. Hallelujah. So from today up until the 7th, we are celebrating marriages. We are encouraging those who are married. We are talking marriage, 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 marriage. And we're also talking to those who aspire, who desire to be married one day. And what a beautiful way of starting out, eh? Starting out with Bakhe Dlamini. Pastor Bakhe Dlamini is also one who is there, who is a marriage therapist, who is also a counselor. And I just love what he does. And I'm also talking to another marriage therapist at this current moment in time. And I love what he does, too. And now I'm talking to Pastor Gladwell Zabane. Muriti, how are you?
I'm blessed of the Lord and very strong. Thank you so much, ma'am. How are you?
I'm blessed of the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the marriage week.
Thank you so much. Yes, absolutely. Marriage week, marriage all the way.
Mm-hmm. And what does it say to you as a marriage therapist?
Yeah, no, look, marriage is an honorable thing that must be celebrated by all who are in it, and even those who contemplate getting into marriage, they should go into it or do so with an understanding that mm-hmm. it is an honorable thing that they desire mm-hmm. and that should be enjoyed and celebrated through and through.
Mm-hmm. What is marriage? Let's start there. You know, we think we do know and understand what marriage is, but I find most of the times we're like, okay, before we say it's honorable, what exactly is this product that we're talking about? It's a godly product. It's his institution. He started it all out. He designed it and all. And I'm wondering how many of us do understand what he did or what it's all about and what we are getting ourselves into. So somebody might be saying, I want to get married, or I'm getting married this coming weekend or in December or whenever. Oh, I want to get married to him. I want to get married to her. But do we understand what we are getting ourselves into? What is it?
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Marriage is an exclusive relationship between a man and his wife, where they join together in holy matrimony, and through the solemn vow they become one. In other words, they grow together. It's a relationship, and it's an exclusive relationship of intimacy between a man and his wife, where they grow together, learning to understand each other's inner thoughts and feelings, learning to be concerned with one another, learning to be connected to each other intellectually, morally, and physically as each other's counterpart.
Okay.
And that's what marriage is.
Okay. So when the Bible says that marriage is honorable, what are we talking about? What does that mean also?
Yeah. Marriage is honorable, which means that marriage is a relationship that must be, firstly, it is honored by God.
Okay.
In other words, God holds the relationship of marriage in high regard. He esteems it highly. And as a result, those who are in marriage should also esteem marriage and hold it very high. They should honor marriage. Everything that is done in marriage is honorable and should be done in an honorable manner.
Hmm.
It means that in a marriage, the two individuals involved seek each other's fulfillment, they seek each other's happiness, they seek each other's satisfaction, and they seek to help each other, growing together into one, as the Bible says, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, Okay. That's number 24. Mm-hmm. So the idea of in order to achieve that oneness that the Bible.
Maruti, are you still there?
The two partners have to honor each other. Okay. And when I say honor each other, I'm talking in terms of their day-to-day living.
Mm.
Now, when you look at the word to honor, it means that you respect each other in such a way that your partner's words hold weight with you. In other words, you do not treat each other lightly.
Mm-hmm.
But you rather esteem each other highly.
Mm.
And in that way, as you honor each other, then you get to enjoy each other's company. And as you enjoy each other's company, you enjoy everything you do, including the marriage bed. You enjoy and honor every conversation you have on a day-to-day basis. You enjoy spending time with one another. And in doing so, the marriage relationship becomes a very fulfilling experience for both husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, the two of them honor the marriage relationship. It means that when you honor the marriage relationship, the words that you exchange, beginning with the vows that you made upon entrance into marriage, you hold those very, very highly. And those words carry weight with each of you so that you do your best to honor those words that you exchanged when you made the marriage vows.
Mm. There is a spirit called familiarity. I hope I'm saying it correctly. And most couples find themselves too familiar with each other now. And honoring the marriage sometimes becomes hard when you're too familiar with the other person now. How do we deal with that?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you raised that question because it's very, very important. The way to deal with the question of familiarity is to firstly look at yourself as an individual and review the principles that you live by, because you cannot really fully love a person in terms of agape, a love that loves from a standpoint of principle, if you do not have principles established, you know, or for your own life, principles that you live by. Because you can only treat the other person only to the extent of the principles that you live by. Beyond those principles, you are not able to, you will treat that person differently. And so what I'm saying is that when you establish principles that you as an individual live by, and you say to yourself, now I'm getting married, and in getting married, how do I want to treat my spouse? How do I want to, if you're a husband, for instance, the Bible says, husband, love your wife. And then you ask yourself, how am I going to love my wife? What principles am I going to apply to love my wife? If you apply worldly principles, the world has its own standards, which may not meet God's standard. And as a result, they may not meet agape.
Okay.
For an example, one of the standards of the world is that if someone, if your partner does certain things which you find extremely offensive, they then have a standard to say, in certain cases, you don't need to forgive. I mean, we hear it all the time.
Yes.
People will say, don't forgive a person who does this and that, or else they will repeat things like that. So now that shows the standard of the world. But now if you go to the standard of the world, the standard of the world says, forgive one another, even as Christ has forgiven you, even as God has forgiven us. So those are the standards that one must establish in their lives. How do I treat, for example, is there any justification to become abusive towards your spouse? If you live by the standards and the principles of the world, you will realize that there is absolutely no justification for that whatsoever. And so you learn to set those standards in terms of the words that you say to your partner, they must be in such a way that according to the standard of the word, they must build the other person.
Yeah.
They must edify the other person. They must be seasoned with salt. And so those become the principles that you entrench within your own character. And if your partner also does the same thing to himself or herself, entrenching those principles, then the two of you are able to honor this relationship called marriage by using the principles of the word and standing on the principles of the word all the way. Then you find that you are able to honor the marriage relationship by honoring each other. And by doing that, by the way, you are honoring God.
By doing that, you are honoring God. So is this what most couples forget? That in this marriage, I'm here to honor marriage, but in me honoring marriage, I should remember that it's me honoring God.
Yes.
Me loving my partner, me... Oh, yeah, everything that I do to my towards my partner, I should remember I'm doing it unto the Lord and not to my partner.
Absolutely.
So I will account to the Lord.
I will account to the Lord, you know. I will account to the Lord. And, you know, as you say this, I want to add on to that to say, the many people say, we have a marriage problem. And I always say there is no such a thing as a marriage problem.
It's a human problem.
Absolutely.
It's an individual problem.
Individual problem, a character problem, a personality problem.
Yeah.
So then to fix what we regard as marriage, a marriage problem, actually means I have to attend to myself. I have to address myself. And I have to say, let me find ways to fix my own personality,
okay,
my own character. When I improve, my relationship with my spouse improves.
Okay, so I'm working on me. It's not about the other person.
It's not so much about the other person. It's about me. Because
Okay.
When I become a better partner and my partner also works on themselves, they become a better partner, the marriage becomes enjoyable and we get to enjoy it in the true sense of what God had in mind when he created marriage.
I want to get into a marriage where God smiles when he sees me. He's like,
absolutely.
Girl, you got this. You heard me well.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we should be working towards, all of us.
Yeah.
You know?
But pleasing then, the Lord.
Absolutely.
But now
absolutely.
There's in you honoring God and you pleasing God in your marriage, sometimes, these are the words that we've learned over the years, that if the word says, husbands, love your wives, I need to love my wife in such a way that that my wives desire to be loved. And it says to women, submit. I need to submit to my husband in such a way that my husband desires of me to submit. Am I correct?
Yeah,
no. Is it right? Is it how it should be?
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I'll tell you what. It's because people often don't understand that loving your partner as a husband is equal to the wife submitting herself.
Okay, Murut, let's give you that opportunity to switch it off. You are listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 657 AM. This is where you are at. I'm talking to Pastor Gladwell Zabani. We are on Hebrews 13, verses 5. Murut, are you back?
Yes, I'm back.
Yeah, no. Tell those potential fraud to wait until after radio.
I think I'm sorted it out now.
Okay, so Murut, you were still trying to explain how do you love your partner in a way that they desire to be loved, or submit in a way that they desire you to submit, making sure, because I'm concerned. I become concerned because some of the ways that people say love me are abusive or submit it's abusive.
No, that's correct. That's true. Look, we must remember that, let's start with the husband. Husband loves your wife as
Christ.
Christ loved the church.
That's the
key right there. As Christ loved the church, which means that the principles that I apply in loving my wife have to be principles that are derived from the love of Christ towards the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. And to understand that, you have to know the word. You have to familiarize yourself with the word, and you have to know how Christ is loving the church. In the book of John, you will remember that in John chapter 15, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you.
Mm-hmm.
That you love one another as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
So now it means that when you experience the love of God, you open yourself up to the love of God as a man. You experience that love of God, and you are then able to love your partner in the same way that God loves you. In other words, you would never do things towards your partner that Christ would never do towards you. If Christ would never abuse you, you would then make sure that you do not abuse your partner, as an example.
Yeah.
So if you know how Christ loves us, if you know that Christ loved us when we were yet sinners, then you understand
when
that
we were
this is
not
how,
when we didn't we were not lovable at that moment.
We were not lovable, absolutely. Then you understand this is the way that I need to love my spouse. Now, the other thing that many of us miss is the question of submission. That when the Bible says, wife, submit to your husband as unto Christ in all things, submission is a way of loving your husband. Submission is an act of love. Because if you look at the definition of submission, submission means to yield to the wishes of another. To yield to the wish of another. Submission means your opinion counts to me. And as a result, before I do anything, before I undertake any action, I will seek your opinion because it matters to me. It's important to me because I want us to do things as a united front. You know, absolutely. And so as a result, it's an act of love. It comes out of the love and appreciation that a woman has for her husband. She will then say, I need to know what your opinions are. I'm not going to do things without consulting you, without seeking your opinion, without seeking your advice. It means I'm putting myself under your leadership to say, I need you to guide me. I need you to lead me. And remember, leading, this goes a lot towards the wives now. Leading does not mean that the husband will have to sort of guess, you know, everything that you are thinking or what you are feeling or what you want to see happening. But leading means that when you have a desire for certain things, you then discuss them with your husband and say, I wish to have this done, or I wish to do this, I wish to achieve this. What is your opinion on this? What do you think about this? What are your thoughts about it? Because then that way you afford him the opportunity to offer advice. You afford him the opportunity to lead and guide. And so submission is not an act of saying, well, what can I do? He's my husband. I just have to let him do as he pleases. No.
Yeah.
But submission is an act of love that says, I willingly submit myself under your leadership because I value you. I value the way you think. I value the things you say. I value everything about you. And that's what submission is. And that's why I say it is an act of love.
And if I remember, that scripture starts with submit one to another. What does that mean for husband and for the husband now?
Absolutely. It means that as a husband, you must also be willing to submit yourself to your spouse in the sense that as a child of God, you know, as children of God, we submit ourselves to one another first and foremost. So it means that as a husband, I cannot expect to have someone submit to me when I am not capable of submission myself. I submit to Christ, because the Bible says, submit your, to the wife, submit yourself unto your husband as the church is submissive to Christ in all things. Now, that means that me as a man, I'm also part of the church. I submit to Christ. Mm-hmm. You remember the story of the centurion who came to Christ, who had his servant ill at home. And he said to Christ, my servant is ill at home. And then Jesus said, I will come and heal him. He said, no.
As a man under authority myself.
Under authority. Absolutely. Which means I also have
am submitted. Me.
I submit to them.
Yes.
So if as a husband you can't submit to God, then it's going to be a problem for you to love your wife, and it's going to be a problem for you to understand what your wife's submission to you is, and to understand that it's not just a question of her submitting to you and it's a one-way street, but it's a question of you also being able to submit yourself to her in the same way as loving is not just a question of the husband only. It's not a one-way street. Because if you read the letters of Paul, I think it's in Titus or Philemon, between one of the two, he says to them, you older wives, teach the younger wives
how to love their husbands.
So it's a mutual act, you know, between husband and wife. And when it becomes like that, it's such a beautiful thing. It's so beautiful that it's beyond imagination. It baffles the mind. And when a couple starts to live their lives that way, they get to enjoy marriage in the way that God actually designed it to be. In other words, they enjoy the true benefits of marriage. Hence, marriage is honorable because it carries those benefits, those divine benefits that God has built into it when the two partners commit themselves to each other in this exclusive relationship.
Ah, this is that week for my endless love. But we need to learn it all from the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Otherwise, there's no way of doing it the right way. My heart was so saddened that as we were ending the month, Women's Month, we had women killed by their partners.
So sad.
And I was watching this video and I was asking myself, who was holding the camera, videotaping this whole thing where a man was beating up his wife?
Oh my God, I don't know
if she's alive. He had a knife. And there was this person following him and them around as he was beating her, throwing her to the wall and everything. And I was asking myself, why did I watch this? Why did I even get my eyes to see that? It is so sad. And I think in this week, we need to remember to pray for marriages, because there are some who say, well, I will just submit because he's my husband, so there's nothing I can do. And there's a man who says, I'm the head here. It's my way or the highway. And there are even husbands who are afraid to even say a word in their own houses because they are also attacked physically and emotionally and otherwise. Let's take a break, Muruti. And come back to talk to our couples about how, on a daily basis, like each day, what do I do as a person in my marriage to make sure that my marriage is honorable? What is it that I need to put into action?
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy.
Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
Hlanganyela nathi ukuguqula izimpilo zabantu ku Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Yeah, on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. This is where you are at, my family. It is Heart to Heart, and I am Sibongile Mofokeng. Give you the sounds of Siphokaleni, the late Siphokaleni Kalena, if you please, featuring Mabongi Mabaso, the Garden of Love. And yes, may all marriages find peace during this season or during this week as we celebrate you. May you also be empowered and encouraged with all the messages that we'll be bringing through to you. So, Radio Pulpit is closer to you than ever before. Have you thought of that, or do you know about it, or have you heard that we are closer to you than ever before? A new and improved Radio Pulpit app is here with a fresh new look and exciting features. Listen to us live, catch up on our podcasts, and stay updated with the latest news and events, all on one place in the new app. So remove your old app from your phone and download the new look Radio Pulpit app today from the Google Play Store or Apple App Store. Radio Pulpit is indeed, my family, your daily companion. So rush to your Google app or rush to your app or Apple app and download the new look Radio Pulpit app. This is exciting, né?
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
There is no shame in feeling overwhelmed, anxious, or emotionally vulnerable. As a young person, you are going to encounter situations that will make you feel unsafe, maybe alone or even mentally unwell. I Am Youth and the Child Protection Hotline have joined hands to provide free counseling for young people that is easily accessible. Simply send a text or SMS or call the number 076-037-6345 to talk to someone today.
It is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. It is Heart to Heart with you up until 3 o'clock with me, Sibongile Mofokeng. And I'm not alone at this moment. I'm with Pastor Gladwell Zabani. We are on Hebrews 13 verses 5. I think we should read it, ne? You know, sometimes we say these things and somebody's like, Naka utlwa Bible. I didn't hear it in my ears. What if they made it all up? So let's make sure that we are not making it all up and see what the Word of God says. Is it Hebrews? It's verse 4. Okay. So it says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. Not fornicators and adulterers, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. But we are looking at, I've read and I've heard people saying 13 verse 4a. So we are on A. We are just focusing on Hebrews 13, chapter 4a. So it says marriage is honorable among all. So it's honorable to God. It's honorable to the couple itself. What about the in-laws? I'm going to come back to the question that I asked you at the end. What about the in-laws? What about my friends? I'm getting married. Do I get married with my family? Do I get married? What does the Bible say? Because in culture, when you marry Sibongile, you marry her to the family. She's married to the family. Uh-huh. So what does the Word of God say? And where and how do we define honorability in that space?
I'm glad for that question. Such a crucial question. Firstly, to answer that question, remember the scripture says marriage is honorable. Now, that word honorable is taken from the Greek word demios, which means precious.
Okay.
Which means valuable,
uh-huh.
which means honorable.
Uh-huh.
So now, it means that when you get into marriage, this union, this relationship that you get into, you it must be valuable in your eyes. It must be more valuable than all other relationships you have, be it with your parents, be it with your in-laws,
okay.
be it with your siblings,
yep.
be it with your friends. This one
mm.
is more valuable. This one is more precious.
Mm.
In other words, you hold it above all other relationships that you have, including your children.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You cannot value your relationship with your children
above your spouse.
Your
yeah.
With your spouse.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
The children need to know. The children need to know that we are a one front. We are a union. We are one. So, because some children, when there's a division, Yana, they take advantage.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
They take advantage. They drive a wedge between the couple. and now, you see, it's very, very important because that word honorable obviously is derived from the word honor.
Okay.
Which in the Greek is timei, which means
hmm.
a valuing,
okay.
to value. So it means when you get into marriage, you're getting into a relationship that you value.
Okay.
Now, here's where the problem sometimes comes for some of us. We enter into this relationship the wrong way, with the wrong mind. Some of us look at it as a means of financial gain.
Okay.
Some of us look at it as a question of satisfying the parents and the family and the relatives that I'm now of age and now I need a wife who will come and serve my family and, you know, do all these things in my family. Once you start to do that,
mm-hmm.
then you're not valuing your relationship with your spouse. You need to it needs to be so precious
mm-hmm.
that you do not allow anything or anyone to interfere with it or to even interrupt that relationship. It has to come first, which means you have to value your spouse.
Okay.
On a day-to-day living, as you put it in your question, you have to value each and every little thing about each other.
Okay.
You know, just when you wake up in the morning and, and you say, "Good morning, my love," those words should be so precious. To the two of you, you so that you value them and they keep you going for the whole day.
Mm.
The things you do for each other, it should not be a question of, "I just want to benefit from you," or "I want to benefit from this relationship." It should be a question of, "I value everything you do for me because I realize that nothing compels you to do anything for me,
hmm.
but it's coming out of your love, and I value that about you. And in return, I do things out of the love that I have for you,
hmm.
and you value me in the same way." In that way, it reduces and eliminates the challenge where instead of valuing one another, people look at each other's faults all the time, and that then. You know, it eats away at this question of the value that you place on each other.
Mm.
And interestingly, research in South Africa over the years has
mm-hmm.
proven that one of the leading causes of divorce is the disillusionment and disenchantment.
Mm-hmm.
And what that basically means, it means losing faith in the value of the marriage or losing faith in the value that your partner brings into the marriage.
Hmm.
Once you look at your partner and you no longer see the value that they bring into the marriage,
hmm.
you are disillusioned and disenchanted. And that now begins to cause you to drift apart. And that's where divorce begins right there. The cracks begin right there. So now these are things that sometimes we neglect. And we neglect them in the name of endurance. That no, marriage is an institution where you must endure. That's not the biblical teaching. The biblical teaching is to value one another, is to honor one another, is to love one another, is to regard each other as precious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biblical approach and the biblical interpretation of what a marriage should be like.
Now, Muruti, I hear that you have answered the question that I asked before we went on a break. But I'm not quite sure if I heard much about... I heard about the friends. What about the in-laws? Because yes, you combined the two answers. You combined the two questions and you answered them together. Because remember the first one before we went on that break, I said, yes, what should I do on a daily basis? And you spoke about from the time I wake up and I say, good morning, my love. From the time, so you're answering that, and you said it has to be the most precious relationship beyond even my friends. What about the friends and the families, our families, the in-laws? Marriage should be honorable to them as well? And how far should they be involved in that?
No, look, that's an excellent question. Marriage should be honorable to your family, your parents, your siblings, and so on. It should be honorable to your friends. They should treat it with the same kind of honor and preciousness that the two of you treat it with, so that they will do everything within their power to encourage you valuing each other, even if it means that they have to step back, take two steps or four steps back to allow the marriage relationship to thrive. Look, I will say this. Marriage means change.
Okay.
And this goes especially to those people who are contemplating marriage. Once you enter into marriage, you must understand that it means your life is now changing.
Okay.
The life that you lived before you got married, while you were an unmarried person, you cannot continue to live that life once you are married. Things have to change because now it's no longer about me, myself, and I, but it's now about my spouse and I. Mm. It's about my husband and I, my wife and I. And I like the way this is phrased in the English language, my wife and I, or my husband and I, showing that when a husband says my wife and I, he puts his wife first.
Mm-hmm.
When the wife says, my husband and I, she puts her husband first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now, the friends around the marriage should regard this relationship as something so precious that they will do everything in their power to protect it.
Okay.
And to make sure that nothing breaks this relationship. Nothing comes into it. And so they understand that when these two people get into marriage, now things change.
Mm.
The friendship that I used to have with this man who's getting married,
the dynamics have to change as well.
The dynamics have to change.
Right.
The same thing with the wife, her female friends and all of that, the dynamics change.
Mm.
And the friends have to understand that. Because if they don't understand that, they put you in a position where you have to choose between your spouse and them.
Hmm.
And that is an unfortunate situation. And we see this happen all the time, where couples fight over such things. I mean, you have couples who fight over the fact that when my family can come visit us in our home, but your family, they are troublesome. They cannot come.
Mm.
You know,
situations
where you find the one say, yeah, it's okay when your family comes to visit us, but when my family comes, and it becomes a big fight.
Mm.
They fight so much over it to the fact that it leads to a change in their conduct towards each other.
Okay.
That then leads them to stop treating each other with the preciousness and to stop valuing each other and begin to create those cracks that lead toward divorce. You see, divorce is not necessarily always caused by infidelity.
Mm.
It begins right at that point where the relationship is challenged and the two people are unable to separate between issues, and as a result, they fail to value each other in the way that they ought to.
Mm.
And where they sometimes there's a situation where if there's a disagreement between you and your spouse, you look for people to support your stance, you know?
Mm.
And who else better positioned than your friends?
Mm.
And so you rush to your friends and say, you know what he did this morning? You know what he did yesterday evening? And you start to talk about that, and they start to encourage you to say, no, 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 Chomi, when he does this, treat him like this. When she does that, treat her like that. Now, they are not valuing the relationship.
Sure. Murut, let's hold it. We have to come back and continue. Marriage is honorable to all, and that is the word of God, Hebrews 13, verses 4a. Murut, I'm going to ask you to pray for our couples. I only have a minute, but do remember, he is Gladwell Zabane on all social media platforms, Gladwell Zabane. His email address is gladwellzabane@gmail.com, gladwellzabane@gmail.com, and he is available on 071-148-4938. 071-148-4938. Please call me, but you can send a WhatsApp or call him on 071-148-4938. Muruti, can you take it to the Lord in prayer? Let's pray for our couples. We only have a minute.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We honor you this today. Father God, we thank you because we acknowledge who you are to us. We acknowledge your love toward us. How we pray, Father God, for all married couples in the name of Jesus, praying that the Spirit of the Lord will help them to revive them personally, so that, Lord, they will be able to value each other. They will be able to view each other as precious and treat each other as precious, O God. Value each other and value their relationship with one another. How I pray that you help them even make those hard decisions to step away even from other relationships that interfere with their precious relationship. In the name of Jesus, we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, including in our marriages. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen and amen.
And amen. Thank you so much, Muruti. May God awesomely bless you. Can't wait to talk to you again very soon. Have a blessed one.
Looking forward. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, Muruti.
Tune in to God's Grace. Radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.